Chapter 2, Reforming Clinical Governance, by Paula Deacon and Working Group Contributors Carly Gibson, James Midgley, Charlie Park, Tina Price, Helen Robson, Tom Shelton, Simon Smith. A quote by Jack Chu, MSKR Director. We should aspire to a system through which we're accountable for continuously improving the quality of professionals and services by creating an environment in which excellence in clinical care will flourish. Much like the kitchen in a restaurant, the underlying governance structure that supports an industry can be the cornerstone of success or the cause of catastrophic failure. Only dishes prepared with precision, skill, planning and teamwork win critical acclaim. When food of this standard is sent out into the restaurant, it is the culmination of a process of development that cannot be seen on the plate, but without which standards would vary. When aiming for success, one has to first avoid failure. Food poisoning of one individual is a major negative event. Food poisoning of several is worse. Food poisoning across several restaurants who share a supplier is worse still. In this example, there might only be one safety error each time, but the point in the chain where the error occurs is relevant to the scale of the consequences. Let's take this further and consider the agencies that are responsible for upholding the legal food standard safety standards and those who investigate incidences such as in the example. Imagine the scale of food poisoning that could occur if the regulations were lax and the investigations complacent. The differences between critical acclaim and catastrophic failure are the systems that govern safety and excellence. When equivalent safety and quality errors are made in MSK practice, the consequences are often less overtly obvious and certainly less measurable, but seldom less significant. Additionally, in the food industry example, a market force will exert itself due to the reputational damage caused by a food poisoning incident. In MSK practice, most errors are more subtle. Public expectation is less defined and long-term outcomes are less likely to influence public behaviour than short-term consequences. Therefore, market forces are unlikely to positively drive standards. Initially, coming to prominence in the NHS following the Bristol Heart Scandal in the 1990s, clinical excellence was proposed as a system through which health service organisations are accountable for continuously building on the quality of their services and safeguarding high standards of care by creating an environment in which excellence in clinical care will flourish. We live in a high trust society in which there is an implicit assumption that the governance systems beneath the industries on which we rely are safe, credible, universal, regulated, and aspiring to improve. We further assume that professionals within any system are held accountable to the same standards. When we take a closer look at both our MSK systems and the constitute MSK staff, are they fit for purpose? Or is MSK reform indicated? Clinical governance may not be the top of all clinicians' agenda, but may not resonate with all professionals and may not be a subject consistently taught as part of the undergraduate curriculum. Yet it is key to continuously drive quality improvement, which is important for all levels of patient care. Clinical governance needs to become an integral part of a clinician's toolkit and a key component of every clinical service and clinician's life. By doing this, it will underpin everything we do, become part of the clinical service process, and not be seen as additional or challenging. It should be an integral part of setting up a private practice. Physiotherapists make up a significant percentage of the UK MSK workforce and are recognised by the general public to be a trusted profession for the assessment and treatment of MSK conditions. MSK physiotherapy is therefore a good test case for the following question. Is the existing governance of MSK physiotherapists fit for purpose? Physiotherapists play a crucial role in the treatment of MSK disorders, and yet there is huge variation in support for delivering high quality care and best practice from both NHS and private providers. This variation is not only confusing intra-professionally, but also to our key stakeholders, and has been identified as a barrier to providing consistently high quality care. The responsibility for ensuring the quality and safety of healthcare services lies with all involved. MSKR advocate for appropriate distribution of this responsibility to avoid an over-reliance on organisational governance where it exists, and the hopeful complacency regarding individual clinical competency where it does not. Although both the Health and Care Professional Council and the Chartered Society of Physiotherapy set standards to ensure its registrants and members undertake safe and effective practice, there is a lack of validation, monitoring and inspection of services and individuals that leaves physiotherapy practice open to under-regulation. The current processes allow individuals to interpret the standards and regulations freely, which in turn allows large scope for misinterpretation. MSKR recognise that a synergy between bottom-up and top-down contributions is the essential mechanisms for any reform. Clinicians aspire to be better in services that aspire to be better. This chapter will therefore suggest policies to provide public assurance that all MSK services in the UK are continuously providing high quality care, and to provide the public assurance that every MSK clinician they encounter is safe, competent, and continuously delivering high quality care. Creating robust systems. In the field of MSK care, systematic approaches to the promotion of quality improvement are far from ubiquitous. There are certainly organisations that have embedded clinical governance into their delivery model, but there does not appear to be a mechanism for spreading best practice to other organisations, or indeed a compelling external driver to mandate or promote this. A quote by Tina Price, patient contributor. As a patient, I feel totally reliant on the clinical governance systems and the regulatory bodies to ensure safe and quality of care for me. I live in hope that the systems are good. Policy 1. MSKR recommends that physiotherapists are included in the CQC list of registrants required to be registered under the regulatory activity of treatment of disease, disorder, or injury. The independent regulator of health and social care is the Care Quality Commission, whose role is to register health and adult social care services providers in England and to inspect whether or not standards are being met. The CQC does not require physiotherapists to be registered with them for the regulatory activity of treatment of disease, disorders, or injury. On the contrary, physiotherapists are currently listed as being out of the scope of the Health and Social Care Act 2008 for this regulated activity. This means that any standalone treatment services run by physiotherapists are not required to register and therefore will not be inspected by the CQC. Physiotherapists who are licensed to prescribe medication and or deliver injection therapy procedures are also currently not required to register with the CQC. MSKR will lobby for legislation change to the Health and Social Care Act 2008. MSKR recommend that this is also extended to other MSK professionals, whilst also recognising the category challenges involved in this. Osteopathy, podiatry and occupational therapy are the fellow allied health professions with significant MSK workforces. On a pragmatic level, extending this policy to these disciplines in the first instance would perhaps encounter fewer barriers. Policy 2. MSKR advocate for the development of an accreditation process from which MSK services can aspire to a quality standard mark. MSKR acknowledge and support examples of voluntary accreditation schemes such as CEQOSH, that safe, effective, quality occupational health service, which provide independent and formal recognition that occupational health services are competent in delivering services that meet CEQOS standards. CEQOS accreditation is recognised and respected as a badge of quality. We currently have no such MSK accreditation scheme in the UK, and so MSKR will work with partners across disciplines to produce a respected kite mark for MSK services. Policy 3. MSKR propose that all providers of MSK services mandate governance training into their induction programmes and ongoing mandatory training. MSKR support the integration of clinical governance education in every level of MSK courses. Clinical governance frameworks as a method of promoting clinical governance are, in most instances, the responsibility of the provider organisation to implement. A systems approach embedded within service design aims to support and influence clinical behaviour and standards of care. These frameworks are designed to support the individual clinician delivering patient care. But is the individual clinician devoid of responsibility with regards to clinical governance? This should not be the case. In the reverse instance, services without robust clinical governance frameworks are, in theory, completely reliant on the conscientiousness of individual clinicians. Clinical governance education should therefore begin in undergraduate training and thereafter be integral to professional career-long learning. Policy 4. MSKR advocate for the development of a national MSK clinical governance framework which is applicable to all who practice in the MSK speciality. The design of any MSK service should enable every staff member within the organisation to understand and contribute to service issues, processes, safety and clinical quality. The culture that would underpin this is key and should be one of positivity, openness and non-blame, whilst also being professional, challenging and promoting responsibility and accountability. It is clear that all services offering MSK care should be operating within a robust clinical governance framework to drive quality improvement. This framework should ideally have universal applicability across the varying MSK sectors, including NHS services, private MSK organisations, individual practitioners, occupational health providers and sporting organisations. The setting of MSK services can vary hugely, but the operational standards, accountability, safety and responsibility towards improvement should show consistent baseline competence and an aspiration towards advancement of quality. MSKR and its partner organisations are well equipped with the knowledge and workforce to create a blueprint of best governance practice. Creating accountable clinicians. A quote by a recently audited physiotherapist. I felt the HCPC continual professional development audit process didn't particularly prove that I am safe or effective physiotherapist. There was a requirement to write about how the evidence submitted proved you were providing an effective service. Luckily, I had a large amount of evidence to submit, but to be honest, I could have made it up. All that the process proved was that I can gather some documents together and write about them in a way that met arbitrary pass-fail threshold. The public not only need assurance that providers and services are safe and consistently delivering high-quality care, but also should be confident that the therapists involved in their care are properly trained, qualified and competent, will treat them with dignity and respect, not mistreat or harm them, and will endeavour to continuously deliver high quality care. The HCPC are the statutory regulators for 16 health and care professionals, including physiotherapists. For a physiotherapist to remain on the HCPC register, they go through a re-registration process in order to demonstrate their adherence to the standards set by the HCPC. This re-registration process occurs every 2 years, and the current requirements are a signed professional declaration by the physiotherapist that they have read and will comply with the standards of proficiency, conduct, performance and ethics, and that they have read and will comply with the standards for CPD. 2.5% of physiotherapy registrants are randomly selected and audited against the following CPD standards. The HCPC views the CPD standards and audits for registrants as a robust process for determining continuing fitness to practice. The justification is that the 16 professions regulated by HCPC are of low risk to the public, and so the requirements are based on right touch regulation principles, which is the minimum regulatory force required to achieve the desired result. However, the HCPC acknowledged that whilst registrants carry low risk of poor competency, they have a high incidence of unprofessional behaviour. Unprofessional behaviour is largely addressed by the HCPC through their fitness to practice investigations and reliance on concerns being raised by members of the public, employers, the police and other healthcare professionals. We feel it is reasonable to expect that a regulatory body that publicly recognises its registrants are at a high risk of unprofessional behaviour should diligently manage it through its fitness to practice thresholds and processes. However, this does not appear to be the case. The HCPC is regulated by the Professional Standards Authority, PSA, who publish an annual review of the HCPC's performance. In the performance review 2017-18 and 2018-19, there were 6 standards that the HCPC were failing to meet in the area of fitness to practice. A standout failing highlighted by the PSA is the inconsistent and often inappropriately high threshold for investigations of a fitness to practice case. Since 2006, it has been compulsory to undertake CPD as part of re-registration, but as aforementioned, the process selects relatively few registrants to self-report their activities whilst encouraging the masses to participate in CPD. CPD audit and the self-declaration assessment, both of which form the basis of continuing to practice, are entirely based on self-assessment and lack external validity of the evidence submitted. This makes the process unreliable and open to possible fabrication of submitted evidence. The lack of third-party adjudication also increases the risk that registrants self-certify themselves as meeting minimum standards when they do not. This approach does not safeguard patients or facilitate the integration of evidence-based medicine into practice, nor does it take into account the variation in quality and applicability of CPD courses in MSK practice. Within the audit itself, it is possible the MSK physiotherapist could be grossly underrepresented, and also that many clinicians will go through their careers unaudited. 55,560 physiotherapists are currently on the HCPC register. 2.5% of registrants are selected to submit their CPD profile, which includes physiotherapists from all specialities within the profession. 54,171 practitioners are left unaudited every 2 years. In 2006, the Department of Health commissioned a study to answer the question, what is the evidence for assuring the continuing fitness to practice of Health and Care Professional Council registrants based on its continuing professional development and audit system? The following recommendations were made to the Department of Health by the comprehensive study. These were to review the HCP continuing fitness to practice system with regard to aligning the system with existing parallel systems of staff appraisal. This would ensure congruency and increase the robustness of a system currently based entirely on self-assessment. We anticipate this would increase public confidence. It also recommended to further clarify for the benefit of registrants that the primary aim of the HCPC CPD standards is to drive up the quality of practice and not to identify poor performance. It also suggested considering creating an online facility to enable registrants to log CPD activity to support an audit-ready philosophy. The HCPC should consider contacting employers when registrants are invited to be audited and request that time be provided to ensure registrants have time to compile their CPD profile. A further recommendation was to request that as a standard, all CPD profiles should be validated by a line manager or include third-party evidence. To limit the number of times a registrant can be asked for additional evidence to meet the HCPC CPD standards. To consider providing qualitative feed-forward advice following audit submission. That the HCPC should advise employers that an appropriate level of protected time should be provided within hours of CPD. And that the HCPC should advise on the best use of protected CPD time to offer the best return on investment. Perhaps due to the current political climate here in the UK, it would seem that this study has not made the impact it should have. We believe it is time to resurrect some of these recommendations and start making the necessary changes to fully validate our regulation process in order to give the public the insurance it should provide. Policy 5. MSKR propose a phasing out of the current CPD audit process for physiotherapists and HCP registered MSK professionals. Illing and colleagues in 2016 made recommendations regarding improvements to the existing CPD portfolio audit process. MSKR instead deemed the existing model to be unfit for purpose. Therefore, working on improvements would be futile in solving the problems identified. MSKR will work with its partner organisations and the PSA to identify which regulatory body has a re-registration process closest to best practice. The General Medical Council and the General Osteopathic Council are examples of profession-specific bodies which direct PSA with direct PSA relationships, in contrast to profession, which as physiotherapy and podiatry, which are answerable to the PSA via the HCPC. A working group is indicated to investigate how this direct relationship influences the upholding of quality standards. Policy 6. MSKR recommend a mandatory annual appraisal as a requirement for all MSK practitioners, which will include agreed supporting evidence aligned to HCPC or subsequent regulator standards. MSKR advocate to aligning the re-registration process with an annual appraisal system similar to that of the GMC, which involves a nominated trained appraiser and supporting evidence. GMC revalidation is not without its flaws, but demonstrates the essential requirements for such a system to be effective, namely a skilled assessor, a relationship with registrants based on trust and resources to help professionals and organisation use the process fruitfully. Policy 7. MSKR recommends that all annual appraisals should be uploaded onto a HCPC or subsequent regulator database to ensure compliance assurance. The digital infrastructure upgrade required for this is minimum, yet the improvements in accountability it would bring are significant. Services, clinicians, and patients would benefit from an efficient system of mandated reflection and justification of practice to appear. Policy 8. MSKR proposed that for re-registration, the HCPC should audit 2.5% of registrants submitted appraisals against compliance standards. This is a minimum number based on the current percentage in use. For pragmatic reasons, our policy does not increase the workload of the regulator, and compared to other professions such as medicine, 100%, which 100% every 5 years, this proposed percentage is very low. Policy 9. MSKR proposed that each HCPC fitness to practice audit should include a declared percentage of registrants from a variety of settings and be represented by a percentage from each of the 48 counties in England, and an even distribution of registrants called for continuing professional development audit by therapy discipline, care sector and geographical location is assumed based on the low number of audited therapists. To understand whether this is a factor that requires correction, we first need better transparency from the HCPC as to how many clinicians from each of the aforementioned demographic categories are revalidated under the current system. Conclusion. Encouragingly, the HCPC, the Department of Health and the PSA are aware of the need to review and reform the continuing fitness to practice process. The Department of Health has proposed a new cycle of reform in the regulation of healthcare and undertook a consultation into the role of the current 9 health regulators entitled Promoting Professionalism, Reforming Regulation. Their rationale was in part to raise the profile of regulation in the public eye and improve public trust in healthcare professionals in the wake of publications like the Francis Report. Under pressure from MSKR and other organisations, the HCPC and PSA have adapted the language of reform. The following series of consultation papers make for interesting reading as they corroborate many of MSKR's findings and proposals. PSA Rethinking Regulation, 2015. PSA Regulation Rethought, Proposals for Reform, 2016. Department of Health Promoting Professionalism, Reforming Regulation, 2017. PSA Right Touch Reform, 2017. HCPC Consultation on HCPC Registration Fees. Department of Health Government Response to Consultation, Promoting Professionalism, Reforming Regulation, 2019. The MSKR mantra of if not us, then who? If not now, then when, is especially poignant when it comes to this topic. The 2019 government response to the Department of Health consultation suggests that regulatory reforms are imminent. However, amongst the suggested reforms is a recommendation to simply broaden the remit of the HCPC to include more professions without mention of its current shortcomings. MSKR will fight for a seat at the table to discuss these important distinctions. Excerpts from Government Response to Consultation, Promoting Professionalism, Reforming Regulation, 2019. Respondents suggested a wide variety of options for reconfiguring the regulatory bodies. The most frequently suggested model, with 75 responses, was to reduce the current set of regulatory bodies to 3 separate bodies covering doctors, nurses, and all other professionals. The second most frequent suggestion, 68 responses, was to extend the remit of HCPC. Responses range from amalgamating the smaller professions under HCPC to HCPC becoming the single regulatory body for all regulated professionals. The UK and devolved governments believe that a case can be made for fewer regulatory bodies, but acknowledge that more work is needed before bringing such a proposal forward. The UK and devolved governments will consider how best to develop proposals to reconfigure the professional regulation landscape. Any proposals to reconfigure the regulatory bodies will be subject to public consultation. That concludes the chapter, Reforming Clinical Governance.